You're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Moreau in Akron. You've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show during our WGXC Summer Pledge Drive. You can help out at wgxc.org/donate and support interviews like this morning's. We'll hear from Beth McCollum, the Outreach and Volunteer Coordinator at the Albany Pine Bush Preserve, about their Nature Nights Out. The next one is this Friday, July 22nd. There's another one in August. We'll hear all about the Albany Pine Bush Preserve. On this episode of the WGXC Morning Show, we'll also hear the local, or national headlines, excuse me, from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Turns the blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
You can find all about the Hudson-based circus, the Bindlesif Family Circus, on the WGXC community calendar. They're hosting the Bindlesif Circus's Summer of Joy 2022 in Hudson with five different programs for youth ages 6 through young adults, including circus art intensives for youth and participation in the Hudson Black Arts and Cultural Festival Parade. Also work on costume design and fabrication. They host the Hudson Juggling Club at Waterfront Wednesdays in Hudson, and a restorative justice facilitation training with the Hudson Youth Center and the Restorative Center of Newburgh. These programs run from June 29th to August 24th. You can find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that Greene County officials are moving forward with the planned construction of a combined office building and parking garage structure behind the county courthouse on Main Street in Catskill. During a special Public Works Committee meeting July 18th, legislators unanimously approved a resolution to award a construction management services contract in the amount of $565,000 to Freeman Project Services of Cairo. The full legislature will vote on the contract resolution this week. In April, the county hired the Lacey Thaler Riley Wilson Architectural Firm of Albany to provide architectural design and engineering services for the project. Under the current plan for the facility, the ground floor of the building would house a secure parking garage. The State Office of Court Administration would rent the second floor of the building, and the third floor would be shared by the Greene County District Attorney's Office and the County Public Defender's Office. The new building would be connected to the courthouse by an elevated pedestrian walkway. The objective is to have construction plans in place by the end of the year, with bids sent out to contractors early in 2023, County Administrator Sean Groden said. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that congressional candidate Jamie Cheney released a campaign video July 18th in which she discusses her reasons for previously having an abortion. Cheney has a specific antibody deficiency, a rare immune disease that makes any infection potentially major, and she got a severe infection while pregnant. Cheney went through three or four different antibiotics to fight off the infection, and eventually a doctor recommended a new medication, but one that would have, and I quote, substantial health impacts on the fetus, end quote. So she decided to terminate the nine-week pregnancy before taking the medication. Cheney said, and I quote, "The decision to have a termination is an incredibly hard choice that no woman takes lightly. It's also a traumatic physical procedure, even in the first trimester. So when I hear language around the idea that women are making this decision casually or treating this as a form of birth control, no woman who has actually been through this decision-making process or this physical procedure could ever validate that," end quote. Cheney is running in an August 23rd primary against Josh Riley, with the winner taking on Republican Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro in November for the new 19th Congressional District. As someone who is married, financially stable, and has chosen to get pregnant, she tells an abortion story that is not easily conveyed in slogans. Cheney said, and I quote, "Being able to speak to that personal story makes someone a much stronger advocate. And while I think people can advocate for this from a policy perspective, being able to advocate for a policy with an intuitive understanding of the impact on the lives of women is a key piece in protecting this right going forward," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Diane Pinero Zucker reports for the Daily Freeman that Ulster County Health Department is awaiting confirmation of its first case of monkeypox. County Health Commissioner Carol Smith said on July 20th. Earlier that same day, state health officials announced that Orange and Greene counties had identified their first confirmed cases of the virus. Monkeypox is a viral infection that is extremely rare, authorities said. It often does not cause serious illness but can lead to hospitalization and death, especially if left untreated, according to a press release. Smith said to her knowledge there have been no deaths from the virus in New York State. As of July 20th, additional cases had been identified statewide, with 711 in New York City, 18 in Westchester County, 9 in Suffolk, 4 in Nassau County, 4 in Monroe, 2 in Erie, and 1 each in Chemung, Rockland, St. Lawrence, Tompkins, and Albany County, Smith said. Monkeypox is spread through direct physical contact with someone who has monkeypox sores, via respiratory droplets from lesions in the mouth, and also through contact with objects like clothing or bedding or towels that had been used by an infected person, Smith said. The State Health Department advises that anyone can get monkeypox, but based on the current outbreak, certain populations are being affected by monkeypox more than others, including men who have sex with men. Vaccines are currently available through health departments in New York City and in Sullivan, Nassau, Rockland, Saratoga, Suffolk, and Westchester counties. Information on the vaccine is available at cdc.gov. Information on monkeypox is available at the State Health Department website. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Representative Elise Stefanik was one of 47 Republicans voting with all Democrats on July 19th in the U.S. House for the Respect for Marriage Act. All 220 Democrats voted for the bill, which would require the U.S. government to recognize the validity of same-sex marriages and interracial marriages. In his opinion, in the Supreme Court's recent ruling letting states ban abortions, Justice Clarence Thomas suggested the same logic would make the court also allow states to ban gay marriage. Local Democrats Paul Tonko and Sean Maloney voted for the bill, and there was no vote cast for the 19th congressional district, as Antonio Delgado resigned months ago to become New York's lieutenant governor. Republican Representative Claudia Tini was the only New Yorker to vote against the bill. It would take at least 10 Republican senators to pass the bill and get it to President Joe Biden's desk to sign.
Lori Todd reports in the Times Union that as the summer temperatures are heating up this week, cooling centers, air-conditioned facilities where the public can cool off during extreme heat and offer protection from heat-related illness and death are more and more open locally. For instance, in Columbia County, the town of Copaic Park Building and the Copaic Town Hall are cooling centers. In Greene County, there are no cooling centers reported to the state. In Dutchess County, there are many. The Adrian Memorial Library, Beekman Library, Blodgett Memorial Library, the Boardman Branch Library, the Dover Plains Library, the East Fishkill Community Library, the Grinnell Library, the LaGrange Association Library, the Millbrook Library, the Morton Memorial Library, the Northeast Millerton Library, the Pleasant Valley Library, the Red Hook Public Library, the Stottsburg Library, the Stanford Free Library, and the Star Library in Rhinebeck. And Ulster County has the second Iglesia La Mission Church at 80 Elmsdorf Street in Kingston, open 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find out more with a link on the WGXC Newsroom page at WGXC.org.
Mid-Hudson News reports that the Ulster County legislators voted July 19th to demolish the former Ulster County Jail on Golden Hill in Kingston to build affordable housing on the site. It will cost just under $1.4 million to tear down the old building. The vote to hire Gorick Construction Company to take down the building was 19-4, with County Legislator Joe Maloney among the opposed. Maloney said, and I quote, "The people of this county, including us, were told that this demo was going to be done by Penrose, the developer who now we are trying to push through some bizarre multi-million grant as well. Nothing about this project has gone according to what we were told," end quote. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m., and some of those storms could produce small hail and gusty winds. It will be mostly sunny and hot, with a temperature high near 92 degrees. And Thursday night, a chance of showers before 8 p.m., it will be mostly clear with a temperature low of around 66 degrees. And on Friday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be sunny and hot with a temperature high near 91 degrees. And Friday night mostly clear with a temperature low of around 66 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and the Columbia counties.
On Thursday, July 21st, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m., Cheryl Kay speaks with drummer, percussionist, composer, arranger, and producer Peter Kogan on her Situation Fluxus show. At noon, after the local news, we hear from Alan Skerritt playing R&B, blues, fusion, rock, and more on his Crossroads and Rhythm show. At 3 p.m., it's time to turn on the news. At 4 p.m., it's time for the WGXC Afternoon Show with Tom DiPietro and Cello Graham hosting live from Hudson. At 7 p.m., the Catskill Cabin Getaway has their summer special. And then at 8 p.m., we go live to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where current Wave Farm in Resident Aaron Dillaway and Victoria Shen are performing. Also, Fascia Bruta is opening. And the show will be live at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Thursday night and on the radio at 90.7 FM from 8 to 10 p.m. So it's time for the Boogie Woogie Flu with Ted Barron, live from Hudson on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
One way you can help community radio station WGXC during our summer pledge drive is coming out to attend some of the events we have lined up for you. On Thursday, July 21st, the two Wayfarm artists in residence, Aaron Dillaway and Victoria Shen, perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Tune in or turn out Thursday, July 21st for this performance. You can buy merch there from the performers and merch from WGXC that benefits the community radio station. And Wave Farm in Acre will also be open to the public on Saturday, July 23rd and Sunday, July 24th during Upstate Art Weekend, where several dozen local venues will be open to the public to tour for to see art and hear art. And Wave Farm is one of them. You can come out and purchase a hat or a hoodie or a t-shirt or a mug or get a bumper sticker for WGXC and enjoy performances from Wayfarm artists in residence Aaron Dillaway and Victoria Chen in the afternoon on Saturday, July 23rd and Sunday, July 24th. Tune in or turn out these performances and help WGXC during our summer pledge drive at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Thank you.
Hi, Laura Kuhn here, director of the John Cage Trust, bringing you a deep dive into the intriguing life and work of Renaissance man John Cage, celebrated composer, poet, philosopher, chess pupil of Marcel Duchamp, life partner of Merce Cunningham, macrobiotic chef, exponent of Zen, visual artist, and avid and pioneering mycologist. Tune in to All Things Cage, 7 p.m. Saturdays beginning January 2nd, for conversations with cage experts and enthusiasts from around the world, right here at Wave Farm's WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, and via the web at wavefarm.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, July 21st. Temperatures early this morning range from 68 degrees in Oliveria to 73 in Rhinebeck. Soil is 74 degrees. Today, just stay inside. Humidity will be oppressive and the temperature will be nasty, hitting 85 degrees by 10 a.m., then topping out at 94 by 4 p.m. Heat warnings are out for the listening area, and storm chances will be around for most of the day. So, go drink a bucket of water right now. Get yourself ready for that sweating you're going to do. Okay, maybe not a whole bucket, but you get the idea. Hydrate. Check on your neighbors. Don't ever, ever, ever leave a kid or a pet in the car on a day like today. Okay, you get the idea. Overnight, humidity will have to be managed with ACs. Dew points stay in the upper 60s, even though we see a low temperature of 65. Tomorrow, not quite as bad. A high of 90 lingers for the afternoon, and we get a low chance for afternoon storm activity. A gross feeling 66 degrees overnight takes us into a hot and dry Saturday with a high of 95. UV index will be high, so prepare to protect yourself. Sunday is looking stormy with a high of 95. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 4:36 a.m., high tide at 10:07 a.m., low tide again at 4:44 p.m., then high tide once again at 10:44 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 78 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8:12 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:34 a.m. Looking way up, we see a G1 class magnetic storm watch is in place for the next 3 days as a slow-moving coronal mass ejection passes by. Solar wind speed is currently 377.2 kilometers per second at 17.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is too quiet. The current sunspot number is 129, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, asking you to give a hoot and head on over to WGXC.org, click on Donate and show us some love, or tell your friends.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Randall and Bernadette Martin of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
Say, Dad, I have an upset stomach.
I've got just the thing. Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms. Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms combine the smooth, pleasing flavor of lard with the soothing qualities brought to us through science.
It smells funny.
That's our special ingredient, uranium, the scent of the powerful atom. It's strong, but that's how you know it's working. Feeling better yet, sweetheart?
Sure am. Thanks, Dad.
Don't thank me. Thank science.
Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms in 5 or 10-ounce bottles at your local grocer.
If you think you're smart, then use your cranium. Start each morning with uranium.
We'll be right back.
That was Aaron Dillaway and Lucretia Dalt, the song Demands of Ordinary Devotion from their 2021 album Lucy and Aaron on the radio at WGXC.
How much does community radio mean to you? For me, it's one of the precious few ways to give something back. And if you like mostly singles, you know what that means. So here's an opportunity for you to participate. Become a sustaining supporter today at WGXC.org and click donate. We do radio together.
Just heard The Tunnel from Aaron Dillaway and Lucretia Dalt's 2021 album Lucy and Aaron.
The ruler. One day Hadida Naharam was wandering around the countryside swinging his axe, looking for likely trees to cut down. Picked it up and ate it. He leaned down to hand her another fig. At that instant, she sprang up and seized his arm with tremendous force, so that he fell headfirst out of the tree. While he was still dazed, she trussed him and slid him into a sack, which she tied up and slung over her shoulder as though it had no weight. Then she began to walk, taking powerful long strides. By this time, Khalid and Haram knew he had been captured by a ruler. She was the only one he wanted. He did not cut her head off until after he finished making love to her. Afterward, he set to work chopping up all seven bodies, piled them in a great mound in front of the door, where the old woman would come in, taking care to put the heads and breasts at the bottom, and to pile the cuts of flesh on top. Finally, the door opened and the old woman stood there. The first thing she saw was the great mound of fresh meat lying in front of the door. Without any hesitation, she sat down and began to devour the raw flesh. But then, as she ate, she pushed her hand down into the mass and pulled out a breast. She stared at it a moment, put her head back and shrieked in lament. She did as he told her, and he hurled the poker down into her mouth. It was so hot that the end of it came out through her neck. She rolled around on the floor, bumping into things. "What's wrong, grandmother? Did you fall?" She peered up at him, and he emptied the burning coals over her eyes and face. She rolled on the floor again, and at that point, Hadid and Haram ran down the ladder, his axe in his hand. He swung at her neck, chopped at it until her head fell off.
We live in an age of explosive increase of knowledge.
That was Hadara, part one zombie killers and part two base zombies.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
For those of you looking to get into nature this weekend, I'm now joined by Beth McCallum to tell us about a series by the Albany Pinebush Preserve. Welcome, Beth.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So before we get into the event that's coming up this Friday, can you introduce the Pinebush Preserve?
Yeah, so the Pinebush Preserve is located in the heart of the Capital District, and it is a globally rare, nationally significant, and locally distinct oak, pitch pine, scrub oak barrens, meaning that it is an environment that you're going to find in very few other places, and we have it right here in Albany's back door. We have over 20 miles of trails. We have an interactive discovery center that's full of exhibits, and admission and access to the trails are all free.
And so what is your role? You are the outreach volunteer coordinator. What do you do for the Pinebush Preserve?
So I have the fortune of being in my position for 3 months, and everyone's navigating this post-pandemic world, and so I was brought on to specifically help onboard and train and match the resources of the Pinebush with our constituent community members. You know, they have people want to volunteer, and we have need of volunteers, so it's just taking all of those time and talents that the community members have and finding an opportunity for them to volunteer within the preserve. There are a bunch of different volunteer positions that I oversee, and I also work on tabling events, community engagement, getting out there in our community and letting people know that we are here as the Pinebush and we should be visited, and how we can support you with the resources we have at the preserve.
Wonderful. And there's an opportunity coming up on this Friday to visit. You're here to tell us about a series that takes advantage of the longer sun summer hours. So what is taking place?
So on Friday, July 22nd, and as you said, it's a series, so it will be occurring again on Friday, August 12th. We are inviting the community to come out for a nature night out. To get out, and they're happening on Friday evenings for a purpose. You've had a long work week. Kids are at camps, they're at daycare, and we are just hoping that families and individuals will come out to the Pinebush and enjoy kind of extended hours. Normally during the year, our hours are 10 to 4 on weekends and 9 to 4 during the week. And so it's an opportunity to visit the Pinebush and the Discovery Center for extended hours, to visit the exhibits and go on some of our amazing trails that we have access to. We have food trucks available. This Friday, it will be Bon Appetit and, of course, Mr. Dingling. Everybody loves a good frozen treat on a hot summer night that you can partake of. We will also have live music and opportunity to visit with our tremendous staff here at the preserve. So just come on out, and it's a very kind of chill and relaxed atmosphere to enjoy nature and enjoy each other.
Sounds like you're building a little bit of a mini village with the music and the food trucks. So how is that integrated into the nature preserve? What's the atmosphere like?
Our first one was very successful. We had it on June 29th, and that was on a Wednesday evening, so middle of the week. And we, you know, you never know what to expect the first time you're putting on an event. And what we were aiming for as a staff was to just have kind of an open house. You know, the doors are open, come on in, just visit with us, and stop by on your way home, or go home, drop everything, and come and get some dinner, and then maybe learn a thing or two about the preserve that you didn't know before. We're just kind of going for a nice, easy, casual evening in nature.
Where did this idea come from? And has Nature Night Out series taken place before?
Yeah, so as our director, Chris Hover, says, you know, as a preserve staff, we are here 7 days a week. I mentioned the hours before, but we always close at 4 p.m., and obviously we do have later programs. We have a lot of public programming that does take place later, and a lot of research that takes place by our conservation staff during non-normal office hours. But what would happen is we, as a staff, would leave the preserve, leave the Discovery Center, because that's where offices are centered, and we would notice that the parking lot was full at 4 p.m. And so we're like, well, you know, we're kind of winding down for a day, but people are just kind of getting started, you know, enjoying the trails and enjoying being out on a longer summer evening. And so it has been the aim of, it kind of has been an idea and a goal to have extended hours during the summer to kind of meet the public where they're at. They're already in the preserve enjoying what we have to offer as far as trails. We would love to also offer our community an opportunity to visit the Discovery Center later and to also engage with the public and find out what are they doing on our trails and what are they enjoying, and just to have those casual conversations to, one, educate more about what the preserve has to offer, and two, kind of as from a survey vantage point, to discover what our constituents want.
What are you hearing from visitors? What are some of the things that really pull people into visiting the nature preserve?
So I myself, one of the great pulls for me is I'm a mom of four, and weeknights coming home from work, I'm like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do for dinner? One of the draws for me, honestly, was like just pack my troop up and like get dinner at the food truck and just kind of sit out and enjoy our time together as a family. I did hear that that was a draw for some people, the opportunity to be together and to experience a beautiful summer evening and not have to cook dinner. I did hear from other individuals at our first nature night out that they often drive by during those hours on their way home from work. We're right up on New Carner Road. It's a very busy street, and people are, you know, hey, what's going on over there? What's happening at the Discovery Center? So just the kind of piquing the curiosity of people as they're coming and going drew people to Nature Night Out. And I have a lot of people who had told me it was even their first time coming to the Nature Preserve just because it was more convenient hours for them since they're, you know, 10 to 4, 9 to 4, they are working. So it was an opportunity to kind of come in and discover that they wouldn't have had with regular operational hours.
Mm-hmm. So is this a family and kids-oriented event, or is it for everybody?
This is totally for everybody. I was just kind of pointing out the highlights of for my own selfish gains, you know, what I enjoyed about the event and what did draw some people. But it is certainly an event for all ages. To come out and enjoy. And you don't even necessarily have to get dinner. The music is free. And you can come and just kind of relax and listen to the music. You can come and interact with the exhibits, talk to staff, ask questions, and certainly go for a stroll on one of our meandering trails. You can, for people who are have canine friends that they would like to bring to the preserve to visit, that's a great opportunity after work. So it is for all ages.
So there are two more events coming up this Friday, July 22nd, and again Friday, August 12th. Where can our listeners find more information about Nature Night Out at the Albany Pinebush Preserve?
Yeah, you can go right onto our website, which is albanypinebush.org, and there is a banner right on there that tells you more about Nature Night Out and some of the activities that we have available. We will have a story walk. We have the food trucks, like I mentioned. There's going to be an opportunity to create a Carner Clip, which is a whole nother event that we have going on. It's a competition to create small video portions. We're going to have a pop-up workshop at the trailhead on the 22nd. So if you visit our website, again, albanypinebush.org, that will tell you everything that's going on.
Thank you, Beth McCallum, for joining us. Appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for having me.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Recently, we reported that the Wisconsin Supreme Court had revoked use of ballot drop boxes in the state, and several other states had proposed legislation that would limit or eliminate their use, claiming they were a source of widespread fraud. The Associated Press just reviewed the use of drop boxes in the 2020 election and didn't find anything that would have affected the election. The AP contacted top election officials in all but five states, asking whether their drop boxes were tied to fraudulent votes or stolen ballots, or whether the boxes and the ballots they contained were damaged. Of the states which allowed drop boxes, none experienced issues which would have affected the outcome of the election. Massachusetts and California each experienced a case of arson in drop boxes, but most of the ballots were salvaged and the voters were able to cast new ballots. The AP points out how big lie disinformation impacted the legitimacy of drop boxes. North Carolina had no drop boxes in 2020, yet allegations were made that they played a role in the outcome of the election there. The rapid expansion of drop boxes was due in part to processing changes at the U.S. Postal Service, as voters sought confidence in their ability to deliver their ballot on time. One voter interviewed by the AP stated, "Isn't a mailbox a secure place to put a letter? Why would a drop box be any different?" The AP's article and additional data on drop boxes are available at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Jugger-man. Joker-man, what you deal with? Standing on the water, casting your bread, while the eyes of the idol with the iron head are glowing. Oh,
shadow.